Why don't we begin with prayer? Our Father, we do thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing us here. And I ask that you will be with me and give me grace and humility as I open your word. And enable me to speak clearly and boldly as nothing more than a messenger in your hands. Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I went through this subject when I was studying for it, and I came up with 5 pages of notes, which from previous experience, 5 minutes per page, so we might be done a little early tonight. I know at least 2 people who will be very happy, and they're both my kids. What I want to look at tonight is the subject of first fruits. In Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, we read, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out new wine." I'd like to specifically look at tithing. The word tithe comes, the word tithing just comes from the root word tithe, which means tenth. I know this is a very controversial subject. Many people do not believe that tithing is a New Testament doctrine. And I'll admit they have a very valid argument, and I'm not here to speak against you if that's you. The New Testament only mentions tithing in passing, 3 times, I believe. It's very easy to build a strong case that we are not required to do so. So I know what you're thinking. Why are you speaking on a subject you aren't sure about? I have to admit you have a very good question. I think I have a little better answer. I'm not here to address it as a law, but simply living for Christ and putting Him first in your life. I don't believe any true Christian, any follower of Christ can deny that we must put Him first in every aspect of our lives. So why not put Him first in your finances as well? I think people would agree with that. So now if God is first, how do I make Him first with my money? Obviously we would give some to Him, but how much? And there we turn to the Old Testament and we find the tithe, 10%. Something to remember, even in the Old Testament, tithing was not the end. It was just the beginning. We'll see more on that later. The 10% tithe was not the end that Israelites were told to achieve. It was the beginning of their giving. 10% was the minimum. Anything after that was an offering? And yes, we will see more on that later. So if you reject the 10%, where are you going to put it? And here, a very valid argument is made that I very much like for stewardship, that all God's 100% of your money, your income is God's. And I completely agree. But I still believe that tithing, the first fruits of your increase, complements stewardship beautifully. Many people say they don't tithe because everything they have is God's, as I just said. It sounds like a very plausible argument. Again, we'll get to more on that later. But yet, there are some people who hold that position very, very correctly. And these are the people we see. They're typically in ministry, though not always. But everything they receive, everything they have, their whole life, their whole being, is devoted to Christ and His kingdom. Others, such as me in years past, claimed to hold that position, but it was out of convenience, so I wouldn't have to give 10% of my money away. And that's really who I'm speaking to tonight. The ones who choose not to tithe out of convenience and are hiding behind what appears to be a biblical cloak in so doing. So how do you know if you're in that camp? I can't tell. I can have some good ideas, but only you can. Chances are, if you are, the Holy Spirit might prod at your conscience a little bit tonight, because I do believe what I'm speaking is the Word of God. If you feel that little prod, it would be very easy for you to hide and say, you know what? Another call for money in a church. But remember, I'm not asking for money. I'm not paid. Timothy is not paid. Brandon is not paid. And Ezra is not paid. So I'm not asking for money. Just asking you to give back to God what is rightfully His in the first place. I know some people say we should have some paid pastors here. But at least tonight, I like not being paid. I'm not filling my own pockets. This is just about you and obedience to God. So tithing is just putting God first in your finances. If you ask me, it's the simplest way of summing it up. How fitting should it be that if you have made God your banker and financial advisor, you give Him the first fruits of your increase? And this account, I believe, would be the treasury of our local church. So this is a whole other subject that I don't have the knowledge or the time to go into tonight. If I had the time, I certainly don't think I'd have the knowledge. But I can make a few assertions, and it's up to you to contradict them. God has ordained the offices in the church. He's ordained the church. He's ordained elders, and He's ordained deacons. And we have a treasury. And He's also ordained sheep. And that's the rest of us. So for us to give to God, I believe the money goes in the offering box. Supporting your own ambitions and your own ideas with the first fruits of your labor is in essence appointing yourself a deacon before God. If you don't like that, argue with Timothy and Dale, because they'll have a lot more knowledge on the subject than I do. They might even argue with me. And putting God first I'm going to go back to one of my favorite verses, Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Essentially, God is saying that in all things, Christ would have the preeminence. This is echoed again in Colossians 1:18. It's quite simple. You live for yourself or you live for God. Living for God doesn't mean that you never do anything for yourself, but it does mean that you will take care of God's business before your own. This spreads to all areas of your life, including money. I'm not telling you to dump your entire paycheck in the offering bucket and then pray for rent money. I believe that'd be foolish to do so. Just give God the first fruits of your labors. This might seem like a small point, in many ways it is, but if we're dealing with God and His doctrine and His truth and His Word, is there anything we can really say is a small point? Could it be that your refusal to tithe is hindering your spiritual growth? And again, I just want to reiterate the fact that if you're one of those people who everything you are and have is for God, I don't think this sermon is going to apply to you. You're already far beyond me. I'm addressing the people my own age, maybe a little older, definitely younger, they're hiding behind this cloak of everything I have is God's, therefore I don't tithe, though they spend all their money on themselves. Those are the people I'm addressing tonight. One little area unsurrendered to Christ may be far worse than just God not blessing you. You give one area to the devil. You withhold one from Christ. You are in essence giving it to the devil. Once the devil has that foothold, once he has his foot in the threshold of your doorstep, he's already half won the battle. That's why I believe this is important. So if you give your finances to God, surrender your bank account to Him, give Him the first fruits, you will allow God to bestow spiritual blessings upon you. And I know many preachers say you will receive great financial blessings. I'm not here to say that. We are promised that, let's see if I can find this verse, I have it later on in my notes. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. That is true. You give your finances to God, He will take care of you. But I believe the greatest blessings you can expect will be spiritual, not financial. Because remember, if you are withholding just one area, it is extremely hard to grow evenly and squarely. So why do I have to tithe? Why can't I just put money in the offering as God blesses me and I see fit? And again, back to the root of the heart. If you are asking why you only have to give 10%, in essence, why so little, I'm not speaking to you. But if you're asking, why can't I just give money to Him if He gives me a great blessing, then I am. Maybe your definition of blessing is far different than God's. Let's look at a few verses. In Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Deuteronomy 12:6, and thither ye shall bring your burnt offerings, and your sacrifices, and your tithes, and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows, and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. First thing we need to notice here is that an offering is beyond the tithe. They were required to give 10% of their increase, then freewill offerings, and burnt offerings, and the firstlings of the flock on top of that. So even in the Old Testament, your tithe was not simply it. You didn't just give the 10%. That was the beginning of your giving to God. Tithe is just the 10% off the top of your increase. The offerings are what you give beyond that. The offering may go towards a specific need. The tithe goes in the treasury. Now, but isn't tithing an Old Testament doctrine? I asked this question for years and I'm still not sure. But I will somewhat answer the question, but first I will ask you another question. Is grace a New Testament doctrine? The reason I'm asking this is to set your mind thinking. I'll give you a little warning to be careful of asking questions like that. I'm not saying they're bad, but be careful. You will likely get it all tangled up like a cat with a ball of yarn, and the end will not be good. So yes, tithing was very much part of the Mosaic Law. which Christ fulfilled with his death on the cross. But remember, so was covetousness. Thou shalt not covet was one of the Ten Commandments, but that doesn't mean we have a free license to covet today because we're not under the law. Rather, on the contrary, Christ raised the standard much higher. So just because the doctrine is part of the Mosaic Law does not make it irrelevant. We'll look at Abraham in just a minute. But I want to go back to the fact that with Christ on the cross, he fulfilled the law and fulfilled the law of tithing. The standard, I do believe, went to 100% of everything we own is Christ's. Which again, how fitting should we not give him specifically the first fruits of our increase? If we look at the life of Abraham, we see that tithing actually transcended the Mosaic Law. Abraham was not under the law, yet he gave of the increase. In Hebrews 7, almost entire chapter is the life of Melchizedek, who is a very, very interesting character, sparked much debate, sparked much interest. Excuse me. If you look at him, we have this man who we don't know where he came from or where he went. He has no genealogy to speak of. Yet he was a physical king on the earth, and the Bible calls him a great high priest, which would be Christ. So in Hebrews 7, we have the story of him, paralleling him to our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first four verses, there's a very interesting side plot in the story, if I may say it that way. Let's read this. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. First thing to notice here, as I said earlier, Abraham was under the Mosaic Law, and he gave of the increase. He didn't give what he already had, he gave of his increase. Second point we need to notice is that he gave to one mightier than himself. He didn't give to his father, his mother, his nephew Lot. He gave to the king, the high priest that abideth forever. I believe if there ever was a man who could have justified working towards his own goals with his increase and with his tithe, that would have been Abraham. But he didn't. I believe he set an example for us. He gave to the eternal God. And I believe to follow this example, we would give to God. And in our case, that would be the treasury of the local church. As I mentioned earlier, God has ordained the church and elders, deacons. He's ordained rulers over the church and rulers over money in the church. He has given many aspects of this life, many aspects of this church to his servants. And again, I don't have the time or the knowledge, but a little search in the scriptures would easily prove this. So if you don't feel that putting money in our offering box is giving to God, I believe you have two things you can do before God. Number one is find a new church. Or number two, repent because you're in a bad place spiritually. Third point to notice here, the author of Hebrews assumes tithing. This, along with the Pharisee praying in the temple and Christ's rebuke to the Pharisees, are, I believe, the only three times tithing is mentioned in the New Testament. Two of these times is looked upon as proper. The only time it isn't is when the Pharisee was bragging to God that he tithed in his prayer. But we have in Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Now here the argument can be made that Christ had not yet fulfilled the law with his death on the cross. Again, legitimate argument. But still, Christ himself said that they got the tithing part correct, but they missed out on the much more important aspect. I'm almost done, but I would like to look at a few reasons for not tithing. These are all things that have gone through my mind. These are all arguments I used for years. I'm sure there's a lot more. And there might even be some biblical reasons for not tithing that someone else can go into, but these are just reasons that I used in my own life to withhold money from God. First one, I don't have the money. Perhaps the most common, possibly most plausible argument. But I would like to look at the verse we opened with. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall their barns be filled with plenty, and their presses shall burst out new wine." Again, Philippians 4:19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." In context, this verse is actually talking about the free will offerings that the Philippians were giving to Paul, but I don't think it would be a stretch to apply it to tithing. Remember also that God's ideas of your needs may be a little bit lower than your own. The needs he's speaking of are according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, not my needs according to my definition. If you don't have the money to tithe, my recommendation is first, rebudget. And if you really are in trouble, I can't answer. You need to talk to someone who knows more about money and is a better spiritual advisor than I am. Also, I'm almost ashamed to admit this, but I always said the rich people can take care of it. Look at him, look at her. They've got money. They can fill up the church treasury. I felt a little uneasy. But I would argue in my heart that they had more money, it would be more convenient for them to take care of all the church needs. But again, what I was missing was the point. I missed the point entirely. If you're looking to tithe so we can fill the church treasury to take care of the needs we have around this building, I think by now about one person's tithe could probably take care of all of our expenses. That's not the point. The point is, giving God the first fruits in honor of Him. The point is your heart before God. Where is your heart when it comes to treasure, when it comes to money? If your heart is wrapped up in your money, it's going to be very hard to pull that money out of your wallet and drop it in the offering box because you're thinking, if I wasn't putting this here, I could drive a brand new truck right now. Willingness to tithe is, I believe, a very, very telling state of where someone's heart is when it comes to money. And we don't tithe because God needs the money. He's got enough of His own. Remember the story of the widow casting in her two mites? I believe we could say pennies. Casting in her two pennies into the treasury of the temple. Jesus said that they were worth more than all the abundant gifts that the rich men gave. This was because her heart was right before God, and the rich men were not right before God. It is simply giving God back the first fruits of the increase that you didn't deserve, and the increase that He gave you. Second, who decides who is rich? Don't say the rich people can take care of it. Maybe they're going to say the next person richer than me can take care of it too. Third reason, everything I have is God's. All of my time, talents, and resources are God's. I am bought with a price. All of my money is His too. Good argument. Sounds like you should be very happy to give him 10% in the offering, shouldn't you? Usually when people use this argument, what they're really saying is, all my money is God, so I'm not going to give Him any. And that does not make any sense, really. They're really just saying in their heart, not with their lips, in their heart they're saying it's all God's, and using Scripture to back it up. In their heart they're saying, it's all mine. Fourth reason that I used in years past, giving to God shouldn't be a legalistic or hyper-spiritual bondage, because after all, God loveth a cheerful giver. That verse comes from 2 Corinthians. But why don't we look at the whole verse, or the whole two verses? But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And of all the arguments against tithing, this could either be the most plausible or most ridiculous, depending on where you are at in your heart. If you read these verses and decide that you only give when you're cheerful about it, it's extremely ridiculous. So in other words, I'm only going to do what's right before God when I feel like it. You know what? If that's where you're at, if you're only going to do what's right before God when you're happy about it, you're probably still under the bondage of the devil and have not yet found the Savior. I mean, why don't we just say, let's not do anything in Christianity if we have to, because Christianity should be freedom and grace. That's in essence what you're saying with this argument. But on the other hand, if you're in that certain camp of people I'm talking about, where everything you are and everything you have is God's, and you read this verse, and you say, why do I only have to give 10%? Everything I have is His, and Christ is worthy. And I'm not speaking to you. And I believe you have the heart and spirit that God is looking for. And in closing, the idea of tithing is not to keep God's laws as burnt offerings and feasts in the Old Testament, but rather simply giving back to God the first fruits of your labors, the first fruits of your increase. And I believe we can say the increase you didn't even deserve in the first place. Everything we are and everything we have, we owe to God. In Colossians 3:11 we read, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And if that is the state of your heart, how little should 10% of your income seem? Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this evening. Thank You for bringing us here and allowing me to speak Your word. Lord, if I've said anything that isn't correct, I ask that no damage will be done.
But if there is someone here who is convicted about their use of their money, ask that they will make it right and give you what is rightfully yours. Be with us now as we part and through this week. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.